The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Vanessa Briscoe Hay is Athens, Georgia music royalty. Her first wave band, Pylon, helped create the Athens music scene and heavily influenced the 80s and 90s American pop underground. AllMusic wrote that Pylon's role as an elder statesman of the alternative rock explosion is unassailable. Along with REM and the B-52s, Pylon is part of the big three of Athens music and were among the first artists to be enshrined on the new Athens Music Walk of Fame. And Vanessa keeps the heart and soul of Pylon music moving into the future with her new band, the Pylon Reenactment Society. From their debut album, Magnet Factory, coming in February of 2024 on Strolling Bones Records, to her definitive Pylon collection, simply titled Box, to a scorching track on the upcoming Kevin Kenny tribute album, Hay is keeping her foundational music in a leadership role. And she's still an Athens resident who never misses a Dawgs game on TV and is a lifelong Braves fan, too. It's an incredible honor to have her join us today. Vanessa Briscoe Hay, welcome to Braves Country.
So nice to be here.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today. 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
It's an honor to be here. I guess it's kind of like an unknown little secret that my family have always loved sports. My mother was actually a high school basketball player who won the state championship back in Barrow County back in the 50s. And I was a little bit of a disappointment because I was really clumsy at basketball, but we just loved sports.
Well, the fact that you said Barrow County and you got a 706 area code makes me like you that much more, because I'm Northwest Georgia up in Dalton. I wasn't real good at sports, but I love them, and I also have a 706 area code, so we're like kindred spirits.
Aw. Well, hey, neighbor.
That's right. Shoot, yeah. And then when you talk about the Braves and, you know, the fact that you love the Braves, and your mama loved Dale Murphy, that was my favorite player. You know, my mama, she would know a football from a horseshoe. You know, she don't care about sports, but she knew how much I loved them. And so she would buy me Dale Murphy posters and T-shirts and stuff when I was a kid. And the fact that your mama loves Dale Murphy and loved Dale Murphy is that makes her a saint in my eyes already. And the fact that she saw Hank Aaron hit the home run in person, I mean, that is incredible. That is, want to talk about royalty. And I know you're Athens music royalty, but that's Atlanta Braves worldwide royalty.
Oh, yeah. Well, this seeing Hank Aaron hit that home run, my dad and my Uncle John loaded up the kids in the back of a pickup truck, you know, back when you could get away with that. And either the late 60s or early, it must have been 70 or something, but it was a very poorly attended game that particular day. I can't remember who was playing, but there were like a group of young boys who were running around with baseball mitts trying to get a ball, I guess, you know, that might be hit offside or into the stands. And two or three seats ahead of us, there was a young woman with a child. She looked like she was 3 or 4 years old. Well, Hank Aaron came up to bat, and he hit a home run right in this child's lap. And the young boys just descended like vultures trying to get that ball away from her. And I guess it was her mama. She stood up with a pocketbook and beat him off with it.
Oh, y'all get away from my daughter. That's a good Southern mother there.
That's her ball.
That's right. You stay away from my daughter's ball.
Now, Vanessa, and before the show, you told me that you also, that your mama had to protest against the Braves for a minute there. It was something involving Dale Murphy, right?
Well, back in 1990, they had a very poor season, but she watched them religiously every single game, and it didn't matter to her. If she wasn't like a fair weather fan, she watched every single game. And I think late in the season, like August or September, they traded Dale Murphy away, and she was so angry that she would not watch the Braves again that season. But then, I can't remember exactly what happened, but in 91, they started to get really good again. They got Chipper Jones around then, I think, but I don't know if he did a whole lot at first. But anyway, they started winning, and she just couldn't help herself. She started watching again, and, of course, they went to the World Series that year. But lost to Minnesota in the postseason.
Yep.
You remember that's the game where the opposing team were waving the white handkerchiefs?
Oh, yeah. Those Minnesota cheaters, what they did, they cheated, basically. I think they turned the air conditioning on, blowing in when we were batting and on, blowing out when the Twins were batting. And also their first baseman just manhandled Ron Gantt to get an out that they shouldn't have gotten. But, you know, I was also a huge Dale Murphy fan. And I'll tell you one thing that maybe – to take heart in is that when they did trade Dale, it was because he knew that they had so much talent in the minor leagues coming up, and he knew he needed to make room in right field for Dave Justice, who actually turned out, I think, to be one of our MVPs that year, right Tug, in 91 in the worst of first season.
Then, yes, you know, sir.
Hit that home run in the World Series later in 95. So, you know, he, even in his absence, he was helping the Braves by kind of going, you know what, I'm going to move aside here and let these youngsters take over.
Yeah, he's like he's like such a stand-up guy. I mean, he's the kind of person that you do want your kids to look up to. So I'm not surprised to hear that about him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because a lot of athletes say I'm not a role model. Dale Murphy's not like that at all. Dale Murphy wants to be a role model. He wants to be that that person that people can look to and be like, hey, man, he does it the right way.
Yeah, he sure does. And remember back then, we had Phil Niekro. Loved Phil Niekro when I was a kid.
Shoot,
real fascinated with the idea of a knuckleball.
I'm still fascinated by it.
I played softball, not very well, but I tried to hold it like a knuckleball. I could never make it work.
Yeah, that's a big ball for a knuckleball, that's for sure.
At least put forth the effort. I appreciate the fact that you tried.
And man, I loved Phil Niekro too. And when he came back, the Braves signed him to a one-game contract in the mid-'80s there when he was retiring. He came back to retire as a Brave. And my whole family carted up the truck, and we came up and saw that game. And it was the only game up until then that I'd ever seen the whole stadium sold out, which was amazing. So great times with Phil. And the dogs, too.
What a great night.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Georgia Bulldogs, the fact that you're an alumni and a fan and watch every game on TV. I mean, look, it's probably been, since 1982, the last time that you went to a game in Sanford Stadium watching the world-famous Herschel Walker, greatest running back, greatest college player of all time?
I did. It was actually, they billed that as the night that the lights came out in Georgia. I mean, they've had lights before, but there was something different about it. They might have been redone. But anyway, it was a night game. And I had a friend that actually gave me and my husband, Bob Hay, some tickets. And I don't know what you call that level between the upper and lower stands. And so we had really nice seats. It was like, woo!
Yeah.
You know, we would never afford anything like that. But he had been injured early in the season or preseason and broken his thumb. And so he wasn't playing, but the second half, I guess they were so far ahead or something, they put him in, and he had his right thumb bandaged, like, straight up with this big white bandage. And he ran out on the field, and the stadium was just electrified. Well, he just did, like, I think one play where somebody did a fake pass to him, and then he passed it back, and they scored. But I think there was something like they took it back because somebody was considered to be holding.
No,
right?
No.
Do you remember anything about that?
Well, look, you see about every game, so it doesn't surprise me. But the old flea flicker, man, and then to get a holding call, that's the worst. But the fact that you got to see Herschel play, that's the coolest thing, because I got a Herschel Walker jersey on my wall. My wife bought it for me for Father's Day 1 year because he's always been my favorite player. And I would do anything to be able to have gone and seen Herschel Walker play. I think so many people listening right now are probably pretty envious of you.
Oh, wow. Well, he was great. I mean, you know, there was nobody like him. I graduated in 78, so he came on board after that. But, you know, the 1980 championship, that was the last time before two seasons ago that we won it. It was because of Herschel, you know.
Can you compare the 80 national championship to the back-to-back seasons that we've had? What was it like then versus now? Was it better then? Was it better now? What can you, like, what's your perspective on those, having seen all three of them now?
Well, as a fan who actually could go into town and go to games back then, it's like a different dynamic here in town. I mean, you know, Kirby Smart is a great coach, but I'm sorry, he's not Vince Dooley. Okay?
Well, I mean, I don't know that anybody's Vince Dooley.
I love Vince Dooley.
Me too.
I love Kirby Smart, but their personalities are totally different. Like, Kirby, he's a very
animated.
He seems very dynamic and maybe even a little nervous or something. He's, like, going from moment to moment in the game. And Vince seemed more like a strategist, and he was very cool, you know, and very collected, you know. I never saw him lose his temper. And as a student, you know, we met him on campus many times. But back then, the students, before they completely enclosed the stadium, some who couldn't afford tickets, which were really cheap at the time. When I was a student, you get a coupon book for $1 or $2 a game, and this coupon book that they just tore off and said, you go sit in the student stands. And, you know, even if you didn't have that, because you had to stand in line to get them and not everybody could get one, you could sit on the railroad tracks, of which maybe a train might go through once a month. You could sit up there and watch it, or you could get on the bridge and watch it. So, you know, those games at Sanford Stadium, I mean, a few times I think some of the fraternities would bring couches and put them on the stadium bridge and sit there and watch. And when they won the national championship, it was like, well, you know, the difference between the way they celebrated then and now is back then, Millage Avenue was like a sea of red Solo cups. It was like back-to-back cars, you know, honking, and people riding the back of trucks and whatever. But the last one, they actually went downtown and they were ripping up trees. and stuff. And so I don't think that's good. I think they need to, you know,
act right.
Distraction versus littering. Littering, you can pick it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so you just got to act right.
I don't go with all that. They need to, like, chill out on some of that stuff.
Shoot, yeah. Act right. That's all we ask people to do, just act right.
Rachel used to say, some people were never taught how to act right.
That's it. As Southern as it gets right there. Just
and they
right.
better not touch those hedges. That's all I got to say.
We are speaking with, if you love music, especially the music out of Athens, Georgia, and it's so important to Scott and I and people that are born and raised here in Georgia and throughout Braves country. We're talking to Vanessa Briscoe Hay of Pylon and Pylon Reenactment Society, and you can visit them on the web. We are pylon.com.
Yeah, also make sure you check out the new website, pylonreenactmentsociety.com, and their new record's coming on Strolling Bones Records. StrollingBonesRecords.com is a great place to check that out. Let's talk about the music a little bit here. Let's start with the present and the future, because that's where we are right now. And your new Pylon Reenactment Society album, Magnet Factory, on Strolling Bones Records, coming out February of 2024. Pre-orders are live now, and they got, you even have signed copies of the album and CD on the Strolling Bones Record website. And I know you got two digital singles out right now with videos. You got 3x3 and Flowers Everywhere. I love Flowers Everywhere, especially. I think we're going to play that one to close out the show today. But tell us a little bit about the process of creating the Pylon Reenactment Society and this new record, Magnet Factory.
Well, we got our start, you know, like 9 or 10 years ago. I guess you'd call us an overnight success, right?
Right. Takes 10 years.
But it was just, we were going to just play this thing called Art Rock Athens, which was like a music and art show that showcased, like, the connection between Athens music and art scene back in the 70s and 80s. And I was asked to put some music together, and then I asked my friend Jason E. Smith, who had been in Supercluster with me, which was a recording project, to help me put together a band. Well, he basically got his band at the time called Casper and the Cookies to back me up. And we learned some pylon material, and people just went bananas. I was like, oh, that's great. And I just enjoyed that experience and kind of put that up on the shelf for a while. Well, a year later, Jason came to me and said, hey, we're doing it again. Would you like to have more time and open for Fred Schneider? And I said, sure. We had to get a different drummer for a while, Joe Rowe from the Glams, because Gregory Sanders had injured his shoulder. So it was Jason E. Smith, Kay Stanton, Joe Rowe, and then I got a keyboard player named Damon Denton, who's actually a classical pianist. And so it went so well that Dressy Bessie heard about us and asked us to come play some shows with them. And so we did, and it was so much fun. People kept asking us to play, so we did, and the more we played, the more we started jamming and writing material. It was like we couldn't like help ourselves from, you know, doing that once we were together. And so we started writing songs, and then we were about to go in the studio, then the pandemic hit, and then, you know, once it was over, we came back out of the studio. One of the first things we did was record Count the Flowers, because we had been asked to be on this Kevin Kenney tribute that's going to be coming out on vinyl in November for Black Friday Record Store Day. And I was just really kind of over the moon, because I love Kevin's voice. I really feel him in my heart when I hear him sing, and he's such a wonderful, prolific songwriter. I mean, you know, you look at the other people on the record, he's got members of the Violent Femmes, and then he's got Scott and Peter from the Baseball Project and all that, so I'm super excited about that. So then we went on recording, and we finished our album, and then Stolen Bones Records, which is a subsidiary of New West Records, signed us. And so I'm very excited to be releasing brand new material.
Yeah, and we're all excited to hear it, too. And Pylon playing in Athens is like a major event, Tug, but the fact that there's new music now is just incredible, because we thought it was just always going to be all the music that's in the box set, Box, which is on New West. And now to have this new energy is just incredible. And also, it is great that you're on the Kevin Kinney tribute record, and I think it's amazing that all the musicians around the South and the world really are rallying around that. It's the Let's Go Dancing record. It's coming out November 24th on Tasty Goody Records. I think we're going to try to get Anna Kinney or Anna Jensen and Kevin to come up here and talk about it soon. But, man, I got to tell you, Miss Vanessa, we love that Count the Flowers version that you do on the record. I got to hear it, and I guess it's out as a single. I tell people every day that I can, it's the most punk rock thing that I've heard in a long time. It's so awesome.
Oh, thank you. That really makes me really happy that people were enjoying it. I mean, I think my band just nailed that. I mean, they're so good. And when I was in there singing it, you know, David Barbie recorded it and mixed it at Chase Park Transduction. You know, he's in the Drive-By Truckers and a lot of other projects he's done. And I just said, can somebody bring me a beer? And David Barbie brought it to me myself. And he was just smiling at me, and I knew I was on the right track.
You were. It's a great track, by the way. And let's play it here on the show. We're going to drop it in right now. So here's Count the Flowers from the upcoming Kevin Kinney tribute record, Let's Go Dancing. It's from the first of four records that are going to come out. The first one, November 24th, and then three more next year. And then we'll be back with more. Let's talk about the historical significance of Pylon when we get back right after this song on the Braves Country Podcast.
Incredible song So glad to have Vanessa Briscoe Hay from Pylon and Pylon Reenactment Society, Scott Mung.
Yeah, man, it's an honor to have you here, Vanessa. And, you know, I was talking to our mutual friend Valina Vigo the other day, and she's the one who really coined the phrase, or just said it, that you are Athens music royalty. And I was looking over some things before we talked, and the thing about Pylon, is that as NPR said, you know, they're your favorite band's favorite band. You guys really started it all. You kind of launched the whole art rock scene, which became alternative music. And what is that? Did you know that was happening back then? And did it ever hit you, or when did it hit you that maybe people were getting into your band and also creating a new wave of alternative music?
I don't know. You know, when you're in the middle of something, you don't realize, you know, you were in a movement. You know, I mean, I have to say that first of all. But it was like, it was really incredible to me, because just all of a sudden, it was like we were on this trajectory. It's like I got on this really fast-moving train, and it was almost too much to take in. I mean, it wasn't just us. We were surrounded by a whole movement of people and music. It was all about doing it yourself, and they embraced us, and we embraced, you know, some of them. It was just an amazing time to be an artist and a musician. So, and then, you know, later on, you know, Pylon disbanded, and I became a mother and became a nurse, and, you know, Pylon got back together and, you know, disbanded. And, you know, in between all these times that the band was together, I just lived what you would call a completely normal life. I mean, I have kids, I had a job, I drove a van, took my kids to soccer practice, I was a Girl Scout troop leader, you know.
It's not exactly what you think of when you think of punk rock or alternative rock, that type of lifestyle. It's something that you are able, it just shows how many layers there are to you, that there's not just one thing that you have to be. You're an actual human being that can do multiple things and wonderful things.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that, you know, a lot of people do have these layers, because you're not just a show, are you? I don't know what else you do, but you have hobbies and other mm-hmm. things that you love to do, and you love your family. And, you know, a lot of musicians that I've met are just like that. I mean, they, you know, put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. It's not like, I'm the lady who cleans the toilets around here, okay?
I did that in the Navy and still do it at home.
Well, who does it now?
I'm out of the Navy, so somebody else is going to have to clean the ones in the Navy. I have to clean the ones at home now.
Well, you know, alternative rock took off so much, and then, of course, 91, the year that punk broke and all that, but one of the big bands that was around you and sort of drew inspiration from you at the same time was, of course, our friends in REM, and you guys had a special relationship. You were contemporaries, but also friends, and one thing that I noticed that was really cool is in 87, Bill Berry, he declined Rolling Stone's claim that REM was America's best band, and he said that it was actually Pylon. And they also covered your song Crazy, and they always said you were a huge influence. And tell us a little bit about the relationship with REM and maybe what it felt like that year when he said that in Rolling Stone magazine.
That was an incredible thing for him to say. You know, my first baby was born in January 1987, and it was like between that and I think, you know, that year, the year before Athens, Georgia Inside Out had come out, and, you know, all that, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, usually, you know, like a pop band or whatever, you think they have like a 4 or 5 year lifespan, and then, you know, you kind of end up in the dustbin of history, you know, the record dustbin. And I just couldn't believe it, but they were always very, very kind and sweet to my band. We played with them on the Green Tour, and I think that, you know, actually Michael and Curtis hung out with the guys more than I did, but I hung out with Sandra Lee Fitz, who was their office manager, and sometimes, you know, we'd run into, like, Michael Stipe, you know, some of the others, and they're always very kind and nice and sweet and all of that. I mean, they're really, really great guys, so you won't find me saying one word against them.
Oh, my gosh. We but my wife is from upstate New York, and I'm from northwest Georgia, and we met while I was in the military, and what we connected on was REM music. It's funny that they've been such a, you know, had a big impact on me as a kid from Georgia, and I love alternative rock. I grew up on country, but I found alternative and punk on my own, and I love it by itself, you know, as a standalone. I'm just a music kid, I guess. But it was funny because my wife had never heard any country music that she cared much for, and we've been married 22 years now. The thing that we connected on was REM music, and so when we've been fortunate enough to talk to those guys here on the Braves Country podcast, we're like, hey, can y'all please, somebody tell me that there's going to be a tour, you know, that y'all are going to do it again. And the answer is always no. And it almost makes it, and as weird as this is to say, it almost makes it more special that they don't, because it leaves it where it was and the greatness that it was. You don't have to go back and try to relive it. All they say is, this is what we were. That's not what we are today. And that's okay.
It is. I mean, you know, you grow and change. And I mean, they have other projects. I mean,
sure.
Michael was involved in art, and he's still making music, I believe. And, of course, Peter and Michael, they're playing with the baseball project. And I think Peter is... Michael also, I can't remember, he's in the No Ones, I think it's Peter. But, you know, they have all these projects that they enjoy doing. So, I mean, I think it's wonderful. And, I mean, their music, REM's music, is just as relevant to me today as it was then.
Agreed.
I ran into Bill Berry a few years ago at a Christmas party, and I said, Bill, do you ever regret you said that about Pylon? Because it's like this one quote that just keeps resurfacing all the time. And he just looked at me and he smiled and he said, I meant every word.
Oh, man.
Do you have that article from Rolling Stone anywhere? Did anybody ever give it to you? Do you have it? Do you keep it? I mean, obviously it means a lot to you, but sometimes... You know, just over the years, you either don't get something or don't have something. Is that something you have a copy of?
I have a copy of it somewhere, I think, but I did give some things to Special Collections at UGA. I don't know if it ended up in there or not. You
That's
know,
good.
I'm not a big one to go back and look at a lot of my stuff. It's like my kids, I never really played, you know, Pylon for them. I thought that was... like very Sunset Boulevard, if you know what I mean. I mean, my daughters didn't really understand it, and sometimes they would be kind of confused about how total strangers would sometimes come up to me or whatever. And I once heard my younger daughter, she had some friends over in the third grade, and she pulled out a Pylon record, and she said, listen to this. This is my mom. She was in REM.
she's close.
Well, but she's not wrong in the influence. That influence was in REM, so she's not wrong.
They did cover Crazy. Yeah, this counts. That counts.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean the influence, though. That made REM who they are. So your influence is in REM without question.
Oh, that's so sweet. But they would have been doing something anyway. I tell you, those guys are so talented.
Yeah, no doubt, but they wouldn't have been what they were without the impact that you, and I know you're too modest to take any of this praise, and I'm going to continue to heap it on because it's well deserved. And it's so, I just find it so sweet because my family's so important to me. My wife and I have been married 22 years, and she's my best friend in the world, and my son's, you know, 19 and off in college, and they're the lights of my life, but I listen to music because it makes me think of them every second of every day. There is a song that will play as soon as I get home. I turn music on and it doesn't go off until I go to bed. And at some point, I will be stopped in my tracks because there will be a song that strikes a nerve or a chord in my soul that makes me think of my wife or my son. So I know the impact of music, and I love it, and I embrace it, and I know what you've done for music, and I think it's amazing. So I will not stop complimenting you, even though if it makes you uncomfortable.
Well, thank you. My family's important to me too, and I do have. My dad was a huge, huge country fan. He actually saw Hank Williams Sr. twice.
Wow.
Dude,
that's old school.
If you've ever been asked, like, if you could go back and see somebody that you were never able to see, who would it be? I think Hank Williams would probably be it for me.
He would definitely be way up on the list for me. You know, somebody I never would have seen. And I think Jimi Hendrix would be another.
No doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, Jimi Hendrix up. For me, Kurt Cobain. I never got to see Nirvana out there. 91, when I was a freshman in high school, when Nevermind hit, I never got to see him. He passed 3 years later.
Wow.
Were you at that? Did you go to that 91 show at the 40 Watt and see Nirvana, Vanessa?
No, I had to work that day and the next day, but I heard about it. It was like I had friends that went, they said, you won't believe it, but they tore that screen down off the stage. You know, they used to have a projection screen, you know, that would pull down at the back of the 40 rod. I guess sometimes they still do, but that was the main thing I heard at first. And then I heard how great they were. And, you know.
Yeah, they're pretty
good. But no, I didn't see it. I wish I'd seen it.
Shoot, me too.
Now, you mentioned that you had to work that night, and let's talk a little bit more about this. You also mentioned it earlier that, you know, you stopped your music career for many years to raise your two daughters and to work as a full-time nurse. And Tug and I really believe in family first and really respect that. And would you tell us a little bit about making that decision and how that worked for you? Did you miss it, or were you just all in on the family and making sure that your daughters were raised properly and that you took care of them?
Well, I was all in. I mean, at first I tried to do, you know, pile on, and we would do a little bit of touring when we got together the second time. I had one daughter who was born in 87, and we broke up the second time in 91. And so I used that as the opportunity to change careers. Before that, I'd done a managerial, like, position with a copy store in Athens. And I just, you know, didn't really feel any enthusiasm about going back to retail. So I wanted to do something with my life if I was going to work a job that has some kind of meaning. I thought about teaching. I tried substitute teaching and found out I was not cut out for it.
I wouldn't be either.
God bless Paul teachers.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And so I have some nurses in my family, and I talked about it with them, and they said, we think you would be a great nurse. And I also helped take care of one of my grandmothers in
God bless
high school who had a stroke. So I would go sit with her on the weekends sometimes. We all took turns with her. So I knew exactly what it was. I didn't have any blinders on my eyes. I knew it could be messy, and it was part physical work. But you got to talk to people one-on-one, and you know, it was enjoyable. So I went to nursing school. My first year, I got pregnant with my second child, and the second year I had her sitting in my lap while I was typing papers, and graduated, and, you know, went to work on a unit at a local hospital, and I spent 21 years on the same unit. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy especially listening to stories from older people. You know, while you're taking care of them, they'll tell you stories sometimes if you're willing to listen. And so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and your husband also split time between music and the family. He's a member of the Squalls, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the lead singer and the main songwriter for Squalls. He worked for the same copy center, but at a different location from me for a while. And then he went to work for a local paper as a web designer. And he's been retired for several years now. And he just had reissues come out of his work. One of them was a live shows from five live shows recorded at the 40 Watt called Squalls Live at the 40 Watt. And so two albums and then a reissue on Propeller Sound Recording. So their first EP with some demos with that. So I helped them some, you know, with organizing that stuff. And it's been a lot of fun, you know, seeing his reissues come out after, you know, the Pylon box set.
Now, are your kids getting into art and music as well?
Well, my older daughter is always been an artist. And for a while, she was a musician and played with some younger bands. She lived in Portland, Oregon for a while, went to art school there, and plays bass and cello. But I think recently, and she didn't even tell me she was doing it, and I couldn't go to the show, but she sang backup with Taxicab Verses at the 40 Watt. So she works for a local t-shirt company and also works part-time at the 40 Watt. And my younger daughter, she is taking a break from going to college, and she's working for a local hotel, and she has a lot of artistic inclination, but she's never been involved with music other than to do karaoke.
Oh, there you go.
And she's into goth music, which has been a lot of fun. She was the first person to tell me about Vision Video, and we got to play with them right before the pandemic. And, of course, post-pandemic, they've just blown up. If you want to see some funny stuff, go to their Instagram site and look up Goth Dad. He's, like, one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Goth Dad,
I mean,
okay.
It's hard to describe. I mean, since, you know, you're a parent, I mean, I think you'll find it really hilarious, you know, Goth Dad.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's going to be interesting. Especially around Halloween.
I'm a little nervous to go look at this, but I can't wait to see it.
Now, one other thing that I wondered is, you know, the Athens Music Hall of Fame has recently launched, and Pylon, of course, was one of the first artists announced to be kind of honored in you know, cemented or concrete there, literally and figuratively. Because what they're doing, Tug, is they're putting these pick designs on the ground, kind of like the Hollywood Star Walk of Fame, but there's these picks all over Athens now. And there's plenty of room for growth, but they started with the foundation, of course, and the big three were there. And Pylon, of course, was honored. And I know that had to be a huge honor, but and I want to know, what did you think of it? And then also, what did your kids think about that?
Wow. Well, it was a huge honor. One day, you know, during the pandemic, I got a letter that was addressed from the mayor, Kelly Gertz, come in the mail. And what was funny about it is I almost didn't open it. I looked at it, and it looked like it might be a newsletter or something like that. And I just kind of tossed it aside for later. I mean, why would the mayor write me, you know?
Yeah, maybe it was like a bunch of traffic tickets or something.
Seriously, yeah, it had to be a bill or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. But I finally opened it up, and I was completely surprised to read that Pylon would be in the first group installed on the Athens Music Walk of Fame. I mean, I had no idea that there was going to be a Music Walk of Fame. I didn't know it was in the works. And I was just totally surprised. I mean, you know, I mean, I felt a little guilt, too, because there's all these people making posts on social media. Well, why didn't they induct them in the first group? Or why not these people? Or these people have been making music longer than those people. And I was just, like, kind of cringing a little bit. Oh, my God, we got inducted. They're all mad at me. And I had...
I have nothing to do with it.
I had nothing to do with this, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Holy cow.
But, you know, it's like you're saying, there's room for growth. Every year they're adding more people. And I think, you know, more people will get their D, you know, Mrs. Moose Long here. Anyway, they had the announcement and induction ceremony on YouTube. And, well, anyway, it was definitely a bright spot during lockdown for me, you know, to see all this. And also, you know, the thing about this and about Box and all that, one thing that is in the front of my mind about all of that is I don't want Randy Bewley, the guitarist for Pylon, to be forgotten. He was like my brother. He was such a great guitarist. And, you know, I just don't want him to be forgotten. So it was important to me.
That's amazing. And that it speaks to who you are and what you're all about. I mean, clearly... to leave a career that you loved in music to go be a mom to be a regular person, I mean that says a lot about where your priorities are and you live that and then to recap it and even you know when you talk about him like that, it's just very cool and it means I can guarantee it means a lot to the folks that were you know that he loved and loved him too. So I know they'll be thankful that you said that. No, no question. So anyway, well, we want to finish the show and thank you so much for being on. I mean, and taking the time with us, Vanessa Bresco, hey, from Pylon and Pylon Reenactment Society. End on some fun because I love to eat even more than I probably should and probably eating all the things that I shouldn't eat because my doctor tells me my blood pressure's creeping up there a little bit. I'm going to have to do a little better. But where are your favorite places, like if I were to cruise over to Athens or anybody in Athens or in Atlanta that are headed over that way listening to the Braves Country podcast, where are the best places to eat in Athens, in your opinion?
I'm going to give you some kind of off-the-beaten-trail kind
good.
Of places.
Good,
that's
okay.
What we love. There
that's
we go.
What we're talking. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Okay, now, the first one you're going to laugh about, but there's a Chevron Breadbasket that's at the corner of Chase and Boulevard. And they have the best cat head biscuits.
Come on.
You can have gravy, sausage, various meats, eggs, cheese, grits, all of that. And
yes, ma'am.
You know, you can get it to go.
Yeah, Tug and I talk about occasionally on this show a lot how you don't underestimate a gas station in the South for having great food. You know what I mean?
That's right. And you know, we have several like Hispanic restaurants that are attached to gas stations too. Mm-hmm. But you know, I also want to say, let's see, and of course fried chicken, pork chops, collards, mac cheese, you know, things like that. Southern food, Weaver D's, automatic for the people.
You've
probably already heard about that.
Yes, sir.
They usually have a line right at lunchtime. So I'd recommend going early or late, although if you go late, you run the risk of them being out of some of the things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can eat inside or outside or take it down to the river. And then for barbecue, mm-hmm. I'd say White Tiger Gourmet. It's in the neighborhood off Boulevard on Hiawassee Avenue. It's like a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's like what used to be an old country store back there that had like a butcher counter and three or four cans of like deviled ham and Vienna sausage and cigarettes and stuff in it, you know, in there. And this place called White Tiger Gourmet took it over and made it a really cute barbecue restaurant. So the pulled pork and the barbecue chicken and things like that. You know, they have barbecue tofu, so That's a great place to go.
Hey, get it all in there. A buddy of mine's a vegan. His body, not because he wanted to be, his body just doesn't process animal fat, and so he's had to, you know, to cut meats out of his diet. So he would love that. Barbecue tofu, he'd be all over that.
We can take him to White Tiger Gourmet.
Shoot, yeah, get him some Vienna sausages and some cigarettes.
Now, Vanessa, is Weaver still at Weaver D's? Will he come out and say automatic for the people if we come over there? Or what? How does it work?
Never ask him to say that. You know, okay. Usually he's in there working, taking
he ain't
orders.
Got time for that.
He's like
got money. Got time for that.
The next day, he'll be sitting over there with the big old bucket, you know, cleaning collards or whatever. Mm-hmm. I bet if you asked him to, he would. I mean, and then I want to mention one last place. If you're driving, notice I'm not putting anything in downtown Athens down. And the reason for that is, I mean, there's a lot of good restaurants. It's pretty easy to figure it out on TripAdvisor, but there's not any more meat and three restaurants.
Oh, here.
With Southern food in downtown Athens anymore since Mayflower just closed.
Yep.
So the last place I want to mention is the Traveling Hobo. It's in Watkinsville, which some people take in the back way from Atlanta. They'll come through that way. Mm-hmm. And, during the week, it's a good place for lunch to get, like, fried shrimp, fried fish, you know, fried okra, hamburgers. Nothing that's really good for you that tastes really good when you're hungry.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my report there.
That is great. I know there's, let's see, one, two, there's three out of the four that you mentioned there I'd never heard of, and I went to school over there, spent a lot of time over there, and so that is really good inside intel right there. Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Oh, you're welcome.
Vanessa Briscoe-Hay of Pylon and Pylon Reenactment Society. We are pylon.com, pylonreenactmentsociety.com. Strolling Bones Records, strollingbonesrecords.com, where you can find them, and then on Facebook, pylon.band. Thank you so much for coming on with us. We appreciate you taking the time. You know, it's so, you know, these days everybody's busy. Everybody's got a million things going on. The fact that you took the time to talk to us, we just appreciate it. It means a whole lot to us. And we want to play your song, Flowers Everywhere. New Pylon Reenactment Society on the Magnet Factory on Strolling Bones Records to wrap up the show. So thank you. And I know everybody's going to enjoy the song.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. I hope you have the greatest day ever.
Aw.
Thanks, Vanessa. And you know what? Go Dogs.
Yes, right. Single.
And go Braves.
And go Braves.
And go Braves. Wait till next year. That's right.
That's right. We'll get them next year.
That's right. This wasn't a bad season.
No, it was a good one. Shoot, no, it wasn't.
Something to build on.
That's right, man. And if you think you'll win the World Series every year, you're crazy.
That's right.
But the Dogs might win the national championship every year.
They got to beat on it again.
We'll see what the next four games bring with the SEC.
Yeah.
There we go. That's right. You got to win the SEC before you worry about that national championship.
Right.
I like it, Coach Hay.
There you go. That's right, Coach.
Thanks again, Vanessa. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Trailer in the field, be persuaded. Remember who you are, angel from nowhere. Flowers grow everywhere. Dance alone in your room, fall without a care. You must be brave. Thank you.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Braves Country supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men, two phenomenal veteran organizations based in the South. Check out thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com for more info and resources. That's thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com. Braves Country would like to thank all of our nation's great veterans.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.